0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. I don't know if it's the celebrity obsession of the media. I know it's not as bad here as it is in the UK, but the only story you've been reading in the Irish papers over the last few weeks is who will or who won't or who might or who could or who should or who would take over the presenting of a TV programme. And then we had a visit of Joe Biden. But on the night of Good Friday, 7th of April, on the morning of Easter Saturday morning, did you know that two young men drowned in the Liffey in Dublin, just down past Euston Station? I was unaware of it until I was told about it this morning. Now, I was out of the country at the time, but that's no excuse. I still read the papers every day and listen. It didn't feature in, as far as we can find out, on RTE or News Talk or whatever. It didn't feature in any national newspaper the following day or any of the Sunday papers. In fairness, it did feature, thanks to Ronan McGreevy of the Irish Times, who's has a special interest in these issues because the two men were homeless. Ronan wrote a lovely piece the following Tuesday week, Tuesday the 18th of April, but he still did write it in the Irish Times. But then again, this is the Irish Times that today, side by side, and the news pages put two stories side by side, one the death of a dog and the other the death of a talented young boxer from County Leitrim, Oran Gettinson. He was only 23, and I know he's been buried today, so deepest sympathy to his family. So, but the family of Deborah, the family of James Nicol, who's one of the men who drowned in the Liffey, we do not know, still, 3 weeks later, the name of the other man who drowned. Now, hopefully his family do, because both of them happen to be homeless. And Deborah Nicol Walsh is on the line. Deborah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And condolences on the death of James.
Thank you.
Did you call him James or Jimmy or Jim or JJ?
Well, he was called multiple names. It was Jimmy, okay. James.
Okay.
Me and him had their own special name, but that was between me and him. But
okay.
Yeah, but most people would have known him either as James, Jimmy or Seamus.
Seamus, okay. And tell us, what age was he when he died on Easter Saturday morning?
He turned 41 on the 9th of March this year.
Ah, so he was just turned 41.
Yeah.
Okay. And where had he been living, do you know, Deborah?
I know he was in a hostel in Dublin. He had been there for quite a while with his partner.
Okay.
That's where he was living, so.
Okay. And do you know what happened?
As far as we're aware, James and his partner were coming across Capel Street Bridge.
Okay.
And there was a distress call from a person on the bridge about the young gentleman that went into Liffey, and James just said that he would jump in. Now, as far as we're made aware, people had told him not to,
okay.
But James stated that he was ex-army and well able to swim, and he just jumped in.
Which he is. He was ex-army.
Yeah, he okay. was, yeah.
So he went in to rescue this stranger.
Yes.
And do we know what happened?
Well, as far as we've been told, he did manage to get hold of that poor gentleman, and on three or four occasions, and then unfortunately he lost his life. I suppose the current was too much and took him.
Good God. And you said he was with his partner crossing the bridge at the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She would have seen this.
Yes. Yeah.
So obviously the Gardaí Fire Brigade arrived in numbers, I presume.
Yeah.
But
as far as I'm aware, they did. And unfortunately, James wasn't recovered until the following morning, I think around 10:30, in around that time or not long after.
And was he found near the spot where he had entered the Liffey?
I think so. I'm not 100%
okay.
sure on that, Joe, so I couldn't tell you really.
Okay. Now, I will say, and this should be said, that the Gardaí and the homeless charity, A Helping Hand, described your brother Jimmy as a hero for diving into the freezing. Remember how cold it was that weekend, Easter weekend. A hero for diving into the freezing cold river to save a random man's life that was drowning in the Liffey. He didn't hesitate to dive in and try and help the poor soul in the water. He jumped straight in, and doing so, he lost his life trying to save another human's life. Mr. Nicol was homeless at the time, but the charity said, and I know you're okay about me saying this, the charity said he had been clean from addiction and was looking good to be housed when the tragedy occurred. Even though James didn't have much himself and was homeless, he always looked out for others who lived on the street. Everyone is devastated by his loss. They said that on their Facebook page. He's a hero. This is Helping Hand, the homeless charity. He's a hero in our eyes and deserves to be recognised as one. We hope you are in heaven, Jimmy, with your baby and shining down on everyone. Do we have any idea who the other lad was? He was only 20. It looks in his 20s, the Gardaí say.
Well, no. I do know who it is, but okay. That's for me.
Okay, but it hasn't been publicly revealed. Yeah. Okay, then Deborah, tell us about James.
James was a beautiful, heartwarming, full of life character. And before his addiction, and even in his addiction, he was just a kind soul. He was a kind soul. He was a very funny person, very witty person. Yeah, that's the James I remember. Okay, like he'd light up a room.
Okay, and when did they go into the army? The army's in the family.
Yes, he went into the army in 2000 and he left the army in 2002. So he wasn't in the Defence Forces for long, but he was still in the Defence Forces.
And had your family had a connection with the army?
Yeah, my dad himself was in the army. I myself was in the army.
Okay.
My grandfathers were in the army. My uncles were in the army. We had a huge army connection. We were born and reared on the Curragh. So, I mean, you eat, sleep and drink the army. So, you know.
And Cahalberry, do you know Cahalberry, the TD? You would have known.
No, I don't know Cahalberry.
He was in the army and he's a doctor and he was a deputy head of the Army Ranger Wing, and he seems to be doing extraordinary work in Dáil Éireann and the issues he's raising. But he said about your brother, he answered with courage at the very end, and that is what he should be remembered for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And did you, I know it can be chaotic life sometimes on the streets, but did you keep in touch, or were you able to keep in touch with Jimmy?
Oh, all of the time.
Okay.
All of the time, yeah. I spoke to him the day before he passed away.
And that was a regular conversation.
Oh, I'd ring him most days to check in just to say hello and see if he's okay.
You're brilliant.
I did. I spoke to him the day before he passed away, and he was in great old form and had a great old laugh like we normally do, you know.
Yeah. And what took him onto the streets, Deborah?
His addiction.
Yeah.
His addiction. Yeah. Unfortunately, I've seen addiction because, unfortunately, for 20 years we looked at James with addiction. But to be honest with you, I didn't really understand addiction until I watched that documentary that's recently been aired on RTÉ1, Am I Here? And that has, I think that's actually really opened my eyes to how it is an illness and how underfunded our country is in relation to it. And the services that we have were totally underfunded. You know, James needed help, but he had to have wanted the help in order to help himself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. Yes, of course.
We can't be telling addicts they need to get clean. Yeah. They have to want that in order to help themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
And we know.
But it is an illness.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. And it's an awful illness. And it's an illness that it's a devious illness, because it's an illness. If you have an addiction, it's an illness that will. If you break your arm, God forbid, or a leg or whatever, your immediate reaction is to try and get help. If you slip into addiction or indeed depression or whatever, that illness tells you you can't get help. Nothing you can do can beat this addiction. Nothing. You wake up in the morning if you're depressed, and you wake up and the depression tells you, no point in getting up, you're not going to beat me. So it's a devious illness. And had he, well I know you tried obviously, but had Jimmy tried over the years to
he did He did. Yeah. He did. He tried multiple times. He had a huge support group with our family and a lot of his friends as well. And he did, God help him, he did try a few times. But unfortunately, he was in the grip of it. And when it grips you, it's very hard, as you said, to get out of it.
Yeah.
Do you know? It's like any addiction, whether it's drugs, whether it's gambling, whether it's whatever. It's very hard to get out of something that grips your mind, yeah, body and soul. You know? But he did try. He did on umpteen occasions, God help him, try.
And where did he come in family, Deborah? Was he the eldest or...?
He was the baby.
He was the baby, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can I ask you, is your mother still alive, your father?
Oh, both of them are still alive, yeah, thank God, okay. Yes. Yeah,
When did they get the news?
My dad got it for the very early hours of the 8th of April, that Saturday morning, the very early hours. And then we were obviously told then after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, your poor mother and father. And did they obviously knew through you, or maybe themselves, where James was almost every single day.
They would have spoken to him themselves.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. They would have spoke to him on a regular occasion themselves. So, like, we were in contact with him. Mum and Dad were in contact with him and we were in contact with him. So, like, they were well aware. We were all well aware of where he was staying, which hospital he was in and what he did from day to day, because we spoke to him most days.
Yeah, because, you know, you're obviously very involved and you're very involved in James' life. But, you know, the hurt and the terror for parents, sometimes they say, when they're... child is on the streets and homeless and they can't contact them. Sometimes they say, I wish they were in prison. At least I'd know where they are every day and they're getting three meals or whatever. But James did keep in touch with the family, which is brilliant.
Absolutely,
Were you surprised? Now, I know it's not, you have enough burdens on your shoulders without talking about the media, but what am I thinking? That was Easter weekend. Joe Biden then arrived on whatever day it was, the Tuesday or the Monday or the Tuesday. Were you surprised that it did? Now, I know this is the last of your concerns, but it struck me. Were you surprised that it didn't make a national media, apart from 2 weeks later on April the 18th, which was only last week?
I was surprised because, and as far as I'm concerned, and this is me personally speaking, the reason it didn't make the news is because James is homeless and an addict. Okay. And they didn't want that the headline tainting the papers when Joe Biden arrived. And that's the only reason I personally feel that's why it was not reported.
Yeah.
You know? And that's to me, he was a hero. He was an Irish man and he was a hero. He gave his life. He was very brave and gave his life.
Yeah.
As an Irish gentleman, and the papers or the media just didn't cover it, because as far as I'm concerned, they didn't want that kind of coverage when President Biden was here.
Okay, even though President Biden, the news would have got out okay on the Saturday. We had Sunday papers, we had Easter Monday papers. I was back in Ireland on Easter Monday, but as I say, I read the papers every day, but when I'm away, but that's my job, I feel, and I listen to. I didn't hear about it, and like Bernie is on the line. Bernie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And when did you hear about this, Bernie?
Two young men
drowned in the Liffey in Dublin on the night of Good Friday. How apt for the country that we claim to be.
Very sad. In the buzz of Mr. Biden. Yeah, I know what that did. I was saying to my hairdresser's husband had it on his phone that the two of them had died, and he showed me.
Okay. And when did you hear?
When did you hear about it,
Bernie? Okay.
Last Thursday. That'd be the day I'd go to get my hair done. It just happened to be on a lunch break, you know. And I said, that's very strange. How did that not make the news? When we're blinded by everyone else's bad news all over the world, day after day, the world in a state, but like two of our own. I thought it was very strange. And then they said maybe it was a murder or something. Maybe, you know, it was someone getting rid of it. That's the way you're thinking now, Joe, actually.
Yeah.
But I said, that's very sad. And I didn't, no one, not one newscast had it. And yet it was out on the, it was on my friend's husband's phone.
So it was just
sure to God.
The tragedy happened on the 8th, and we don't know anything. In fairness,
we don't know anything
about the other man.
It.
Only for Deborah contacting us, we wouldn't have been talking about it this way. We don't know anything about the other poor man who died.
But this is it, you see. Yeah. I'm saying to you, something's drastically wrong here, because like I said they're not telling us. Though someone died, the truth is not coming out, and I got personified over it. I said, but you said they couldn't do that. So surely to God someone had a mind to go to the papers.
It was just short of 2 weeks before you heard about it.
That's right, yeah. I thought it was very strange that nobody had a handle on it, nobody tried to.
And it was 10 days before it got a mention in the national newspaper, and that was wrong.
That's right, And now you're only talking about it today, you see. This is why we were found so mysterious.
But you hear, in fairness, and we can never know why things get in the paper.
Like this
don't
happened.
Get in
no,
the paper.
No, you don't.
But Deborah thinks it's not Joe Biden. It's the fact that the two. No, we don't know about the second man. But that James, her brother, was homeless. If somebody jumped into any, God forbid, any river, any sea, and that's happened.
A dump pond, yeah.
In Ireland, and to save somebody, and the Good Samaritan and the victim died. That would be the lead story.
Of course, nothing. Well, that's where I found it on a mobile phone last Thursday.
Okay, Joanne Lonergan. Hello, Joanne.
Oh, hi, Joe. How are you?
You knew Jimmy Nichols, and you want to tell Deborah how fond you were of him.
Yeah, I just myself and my husband would have gotten to know Jimmy just around town over, God, I'd say the last, God, maybe 10 years nearly. And we just always stopped and had a chat with him and his partner, and we're very fond of him. So I'm very shocked. I don't know what made me realise when I was listening earlier that it was him, and I'm just so sad to hear it. And I just wanted to say to Deborah, he was always telling us about his family, and he always mentioned when he was going home and how his family cared so much for him with all the troubles he'd gone through. And I mean, he was just lovely. He was a really
Did you get to know Jimmy's name, Joanne?
Yeah, we knew his name and he knew ours, and we'd always have a chat. I think we used to walk through kind of the part of town where himself and his partner were staying at the time. We just bump into each other, and I suppose he told me a good bit over the years about his life. So it just kind of, I realised when you started talking that it was him, and I can well believe that he did what he did, because I knew.
And can you believe
that was his character?
But can you believe that it didn't make one national media platform until 2 weeks later?
I'm surprised. You know, I realised that I did see it, but I didn't make the connection I saw the Irish Times piece.
Yeah,
but,
okay. You didn't put everything together, yeah.
No, I didn't, but...
And when did you realise it was, Jimmy?
Just when you started talking earlier.
God. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know what it was that you said that suddenly it clicked with me that it was him, but it just... to hear Deborah, I guess the relationship sounds just like I thought it was from my conversations with Jimmy, and he was,
How often would you see him, Joanne?
At least once a month.
Okay.
And sometimes more.
Okay. I don't know, but some people might ask for a cup of tea. Some people ask for a bit of chocolate or whatever. That's what you did, was it? A cup of tea or?
Yeah, like that was the first time I met him, I think. Was around Dunn's there on Exchequer Street, and I went and got him a cup of tea.
Fair play.
And that's when we got chatting, and then the next time I bumped into him around there, my husband was with me and he got chatting, and then we just always chatted then every time we saw him and his partner. So look, we really miss him. I just wanted to say to Deborah, he was just a really kind of vibrant, funny, bright character, and we were really fond of him, and very sad to see to hear of his loss, you know. Okay. But like I said, not surprised that that's how it happened, because you could always pick up that he'd go out of his way for other people.
Okay. Well said, Joanne. Well said.
And, Thank you.
With your permission, Deborah, I don't know whether, I hope you, I'm sure you are going to do little memoriam cards for Jimmy. If you request it, we will, and Joanne agrees, we will exchange addresses so you can pass on the little memoriam card to Joanne. Yeah, thanks.
That would be lovely.
Thanks. Johnny, good afternoon, Johnny.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
And I know this is a very, very difficult call for you to make.
Yeah, I just thought that it'd be best to clarify some things. And
yeah,
the main thing is to be able to thank Jimmy and his sister Deborah for talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I know how difficult it can be for her.
And you were the best friend of the other man who died.
I was, yeah. but yeah, he was 21 when he died. This is actually his birthday today. His 22nd birthday today.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
God rest him. God rest him, Johnny.
The two of them.
And Johnny, had you been in touch with him, or?
I was there on the night. Jimmy actually answered my screams for help, and as far as I'm aware, I was the last person to speak to Jimmy. For me, it was a moment of real surrealness and what was going on, and asking for help, and a complete stranger passing by, and then with his partner as well, to not even think twice and just go ahead.
And that was Jimmy's reaction.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And I did. When he got up, I put my hands on him and I said, look, if you can't swim, don't. He's a good swimmer and he's struggling. And he told me, I'm ex-army, I'll get him. And he went straight in. And I just think it was a real act of braveness and selflessness.
Yeah. And
it's like, for me, it restored my faith in humanity, because, geez, I don't know if any other situation had many other strangers have helped. And there was a lot of people in town. It was just gone 20 past one. 20 a lot of people in town. And I'm on the phone. And for me, it was, I can't swim. And I felt real hopeless at the time, because the fact that I can't swim. And I was just on the phone to the guards trying to get them there.
Yeah.
And it's just a real shame that nobody could help all of the people there, even when emergency services arrived, because of how far in the middle they were. We couldn't get anything to them.
They were in the middle of the river. God.
Yeah. And then the boat took so long to arrive, but that's because I suppose it was 20 past one in the morning.
Yeah, the fire brigade have a boat, but it's located down past the custom house. They've got they send a crew.
Yeah.
Well, they send a crew on a fire appliance down, and they get in and get up as quick as possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Johnny, I know, and I don't want the name of this young man.
I'm just respecting his family. Yeah, I haven't asked the question, but
if they wanted him
to be named, they would have done it by now, I would suspect.
Okay. And again, tell me, was there any inkling that your best pal was going to get into the river?
To be honest, this was a drunken and emotional mistake of decision that he made. It was an emotional drink fueled moment.
He was upset or something, was he?
Yeah.
So
I don't think he would have done this sober.
Yeah, so was
that's
it,
my thoughts.
There was which often happens. It's a temporary upset.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which some people think is permanent, but we know it's
absolutely
not.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what this was.
And how long have you been buddies, Johnny?
Not very long, 2 years. But I keep saying to people, he's one of the closest friends I've ever had. We spent so much time together, because we're both like the one thing I said at his funeral is the one thing I loved about him was his independence and how independent he was, living away from home. He loved his car, going on trips, and I would be there for a lot of it as well. So it's kind of like when you're younger, you hang with your friends that you're going to grow up with, but you don't see them as much.
Yeah.
But for me and him, it's any spare time we had, we would hang out. He would ring and he'd be like, what are you doing? And he'd be parked outside my house, and he's like, I'm outside, let's go.
okay. And you had good times. And
absolutely.
To have a close friend when you're 19, 20, 21 is just, is lifelong.
Mm-hmm. It feels it, yeah.
And how are you doing, Johnny?
I'm okay. I think I'm dealing with it differently than what I thought I would have. And maybe it hasn't properly hit me yet, because on the night, I just went into logistics mode, as in, what can I do to help his family?
Well done,
what can I do to make things easier for everybody else? Because I knew that they were gone. And it was like, then how do we tell his parents? How do we tell his close friends?
Yeah.
And thinking like that, because, again, with the fact that it wasn't in any national news or anything immediately, I think part of that was the bank holiday weekend.
Okay.
They couldn't be formally identified until after the bank holiday weekend, which meant the guards couldn't give any details whatsoever, not age, not sex, nothing. Because I did have an outlet reach out to me, and I said, look, contact the press office, because that's what the guards told me to do. But obviously, with this kind of thing, is you're not going to make it a news article if you don't have enough information to do it.
But still, two men drowning in the Liffey.
Absolutely, in itself
is a serious news.
Absolutely, article. And I understand that in cases of suicides they don't report it. But this, the tragicness of this, with Jimmy losing his life trying to save my friend, absolutely should have. And again, that's why maybe his family have decided not to name him, because Jimmy deserves to be named. Jimmy deserves all the attention in the world for everything that he done on that night.
And
it's
tragic
for us as well.
Deborah, go ahead.
It's not about, hi Johnny, and thank you very much for your very kind words and our condolences on the loss of your beautiful friend. It's not about getting James named and getting him out there. I just feel it. No one has to be named, but that's... The bravery of what he had done should have been said, and it wasn't. I mean, 10 days later they think it's a newsworthy story, and I don't, and I feel that's just too little too late.
Been another instance in the meantime where people think, oh, maybe it was that one, because I had people telling me, no, two people didn't die, they were saved in January, just because there was a similar incident in January. And they're like, it's not in the news. And I was telling people, the next person to tell me that it's not in the news is getting a slap. Because I'm not listening to it. I was there. I seen it. I know what happened. And people not believe, like some people didn't believe me just because it wasn't in the news. Not everything is in the news. It should be, but it's not. But that doesn't make it any less real for me or for you, Deborah, or for your family. Which was the frustrating thing for me. And I only got sent an article the day of Jimmy's funeral. Is when somebody, it was posted, as far as I know, for the first time, was the day of his funeral. And I just thought it was crazy to that long later. And then even the details the guards gave there, I think they said a man in his 40s, but as far as I'm aware, Jimmy wasn't yet in his 40s.
Oh, he was, yeah, he was 41.
Oh, he was.
41, okay.
Oh, right, okay. That makes sense.
And you say your friend, Johnny, your friend would have been...
21, he's 22 today.
God rest him, and condolences to you.
Which is crazy that I'm not out celebrating it, but instead of grieving.
Can you imagine what the two of you would be up to, having the crack, you know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Joe, can I make one more point?
Yes, of course, Deborah, yeah.
In relation to the bank holiday and the fact that there was no coroner working the Saturday, Sunday or Monday. My parents didn't get to identify James until Wednesday. None of us were physically able to see him until Saturday.
Disgraceful.
And I just think our country needs to do better in relation to something like that. Just needs
I
to
totally
do better.
Agree. And we've they're part of the process just as much as emergency services. And if not even the coroner needing to be available, just staff in the morgue to make them presentable, so the guards can go through that process they legally have to go through. Because same with my friend's parents, they didn't do the formal identification until the Wednesday. They had died on Saturday morning. That's some time.
And they didn't see
for
their
families to not, because it's not, it doesn't, it wouldn't be real to me until I seen them.
That's exactly,
so for the parents,
same
it's not real until they see them. And I was there the next morning when we found them. For me, it was real from the moment they drowned. But for his parents, not being able to see him or anything like that, and only for a short time on the Wednesday, and then waiting until we seen him again on Saturday at the wake.
It
delayed the process when it didn't have to. They didn't need to do the autopsy then. They just needed to make them presentable.
And
if you died in a hospital, they make you presentable, and they let your family see you.
And Johnny, I can tell you this now, for various reasons, and I totally understand that people are grieving, but the number of people contacted us, especially in the last year, 18 months, about the fact that they had to wait on an autopsy or an inquest.
I was gone mad. I was gone mad with the sergeant. I was so angry. talking to her, and because she was saying, I have to do this process. I'm like, well, get it done. Stop telling me you have to do it. Yeah. What are you waiting around for? Just do it. And it was completely out of their control. And I can tell you now, the guards are frustrated with the fact that they have to deal with this and delay it for the families as well.
And Johnny,
it's unbelievable. And I mean, one line was, they're just as important, if not more important, in this process, because they get them ready for you.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course I do.
And they give you your last sight of them before they're in a casket.
And Johnny, you said you were there when they found your best pal and Jimmy Nichols in the water the following day.
I arrived after they found Jimmy, just moments after they found Jimmy. Okay. They found Jimmy fairly quick, according to the sergeant, when I arrived, because the tide was so low. They were physically walking through the Liffey I arrived. Because they were expecting that it would be high, that they would have to dive a bit, but they didn't. They were physically, it was up to their legs, and they were just grid searching, walking through it.
And then they found your friend shortly thereafter, was it?
Yeah. Okay. And for me, it was very surreal, because I think it would have took a lot longer for us to find him, only that one of the guards that was with us all night, they were standing on the bridges to stop people from looking down, just in case they could see them.
Yeah.
And one of the guards walked up onto the Halfpenny Bridge and looked down and found them while they were still searching up the other part.
Okay.
So it was kind of a moment of kind of frozenness when they said, we think we have him. And for me, it was just to see the clothes to know it was him, because God forbid somebody else, unbeknownst to anybody, went in.
Yeah. And that showed great sensitivity by the guard as well, as per usual.
Absolutely.
And Johnny, did you stay there all night? What did you do?
No, I was there until they called off the search.
Okay.
And the guards insisted I go back to the station with them, because my stance was, I'm not going until I have my best friend. Simple as. I don't care, I'll stand here all night. And their attitude was, you can help us by coming to the station and helping us try and contact his parents and the other man's parents. They dropped me, because I then thought that maybe he's in his car, so we went to find his car, and at 5:30 they dropped me home. And she says to me, she goes, go try and get some sleep. And it was just a moment of laughing at each other, as if you think I'd go to sleep.
Yeah.
And I sat down at home for half an hour, because the whole thing was, the divers were going out at sunrise, and I walked back up, because I live in Stony Batter.
Okay.
I walked back up to where it happened. And when I arrived, they had found Jimmy just before, and then I stood around, and it was just after 7:00 that we found my friend.
Yeah.
And the good thing for me, I was thinking that it's not busy in town. There's not a lot of people around, for me and my friend that was with me, seeing that was very difficult.
Yeah.
And for passersby to see that would be a shock to them, not knowing anything that's gone on. But for me, it was just, I was glad we found them, because there was the risk that we might not find them.
Johnny, if you could stay with us, because a number of people who knew Jimmy...
I suppose the reason I wanted to call in is to clarify that I know some people thought that maybe my friend was homeless. He wasn't.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He was 21, he was young, he was loving life in every way you can think of, but just had a rough night and made a silly decision. And my point was to thank Deborah for talking about it, and to thank her family, and most importantly, thank Jimmy, because to me, he's restored my faith in humanity. I would never think a stranger would do anything like this for me. When I screamed for help, I would think I'd get ignored. A lot of people did ignore me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just think it's absolutely unbelievable that they both died. But can't thank Jimmy enough for what he done.
And Deborah, for you to hear from Johnny, the last person that spoke to
James.
Yeah, I've been trying to get I was speaking to his niece, I think, and I was trying to get contact numbers to speak to Deborah, but I hadn't been successful.
And again, with your
Johnny, I did actually leave a message for you, I think, on your social media page.
Oh God, I didn't see it. Sorry, Deborah.
No worries.
But there's no problem if you want to contact me. Absolutely, feel free to. Absolutely. And
to
thank you for your kind words.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Johnny, it's up to yourself. But before, if you want to say, you can say. But before you go, would you give us just in your given that it's your pal's birthday today, what would you, how would you describe him? If I was in town tonight and the two of you said, I'm waiting on me buddy, and it's his birthday, how would you describe him?
I'd be thanking him for my new phone, because I was meant to get a phone off him last week.
Right.
He was a big tech guy working in a retailer that sells phones.
Oh, was he okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did you meet when you met him the first time?
Mutual friends, true mutual friends.
And you just hit it off?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What do you he used to live up around the corner from me as well. So
okay, so you knew.
One might say it was a friendship of convenience at the beginning, but then when he moved a bit away, nothing changed. So
okay,
that's again why I would say he's one of the closest friends I have, because he always made an effort even after moving a bit out.
And Johnny, would you go for counselling, or would you?
Oh, I absolutely will. I never believed it. I always discounted it. I grew up in Ballymun. I've seen things that people shouldn't see, but this takes the biscuit. I still genuinely don't think it's properly hit me, because I feel like I'm in like a surreal thing, and I'm looking at pictures and I'm like, oh no, sure, he'd give me a call. But then the other part of me is like, I've seen it. I know it's not going to happen. It's just...
Okay, Ian has contacted us as well. Ian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm reassured now. Until I was hearing Johnny, I was afraid we would lack of detailed and fair tribute to our friend in common.
About the man that Jimmy went in to rescue.
This man, absolutely.
And he was a friend of yours, was he, Ian? Or Jan?
Of course, I wouldn't have as many beautiful experiences as Johnny, but I would have known him for quite a few years now.
Okay.
And very few times we would have had the time together to spend. You'd see how much he'd care for others. He'd give that time, that attention for others. And, you know, that ability to, whenever people would go through hard times, to... Yeah. In a very subtle and spontaneous way, make people a tiny happier, smile a bit more. He had this skill of his. Unfortunately, it might have not applied to himself enough, but he brought a lot of love to others. And then this was also, as Johnny mentioned, translating into his professional life. I mean, at such a young age, having his own company and working so hard on his studies, while the day before he was socially partying with friends. You know, very few people I know were able to mix both. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once again, where the independence comes into us, that I loved about him was the independence. Working, a young entrepreneur, he worked several jobs when he was working in bar work and decided, I want to go full time while I finish my studies. So working as well.
Okay, well, may he rest in peace. And this is his birthday. Have been his 22nd birthday. And it's some salve to a very, very deep wound that Deborah has spoken to the man, Johnny, that was the last person to speak to her brother, and to put some circumstance on what happened. So, Johnny, I really appreciate it. A difficult time you contacting us.
And, thank you very much for talking, Deborah. And
thank you, Johnny.
There's a whole lot of them can't ever thank Jimmy enough.
And Johnny, will you pass on our condolences to your best friend's family? And it's to lose a child, and he was only such a young man. And Jan as well, condolences to you and thank you for speaking so warmly and so truthfully, and both of you with great dignity about this young man who died on the morning of Easter Saturday. There's a couple of more people want to talk to Deborah about Jimmy after the break. But Johnny and Jan, if you need anything, or if you think we can help, or if you need addresses with people's permission, we will pass that on to you, no problem. But in the meantime, Johnny, you mind yourself seriously and well. Thank you both. Thank you both. Joe at RTE.ie. Thank you both.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're talking about a tragedy, a horrific tragedy that happened on, and I'm saying Good Friday because people normally remember where they are on Good Friday because it's a day off apart from the whatever religious connections you have. But it was Good Friday night. Two young men were out in Dublin and they were enjoying themselves. You heard Johnny there and... at about 20 past one, an incident happened at what we as Grattan Bridge, we know as Capel Street Bridge. and for some reason Johnny's friend entered the water and Johnny called for help. And a man was passing with his partner, and that man was Jimmy James Nichols. And he was a former member of the army, and he said he could swim, and he got into the water. But unfortunately, both of them got into difficulties, and both of them were drowned, and their bodies were recovered the following day, Easter Saturday, around 7 in the morning by Dublin Fire Brigade and the Gardaí. This did not make national news on any platform. And the first public mention I could find of it when I heard about it today was 10 days later in the Irish Times, when Ronan McGreevy spoke about the funeral. And then Helping Hand, the homeless charity, wrote a beautiful tribute to Jimmy and the hero that he was on their Facebook page. Adam, good afternoon, Adam. Sorry for holding you.
No, it's okay, Joe. Good afternoon.
Okay, you knew Jimmy?
In passing, I'd moved to Dublin and was working in the Essex Street area near Fallon and Bourne. And so I'd often be down talking to him when I was out having a cigarette. And there was something that Deborah said there at the very start of your show, where she mentioned that he'd light up a room. And that's always what I'd remember about him. He'd always have a smile on his face. He'd always be upbeat. And the tragic circumstances of his death, I'd always have known from talking to him that he would have taken care of other lads that have found themselves homeless as well. Nice. So he always seemed to have a big heart as well. And then I moved work-wise away from that part of the city, but I'd see him on occasion on the north side of the city as well, and I'd always stop to chat with him. And he was a great chap, and it was only when the name came up and the description and the army and the Curragh, I immediately knew who it was. And I'd have known him as James, not as Jimmy. That's how he introduced himself to me. But he was genuinely a lovely, lovely chap. And I couldn't let it go. I don't call into radio shows, but I just couldn't let it go without passing on my condolences to the family, because that man made an impression. Okay. And he was a lovely chap.
Well, well said and appreciated, I'm sure, by the family. Adam, thanks indeed, and thanks for taking the time. Alton Beer, Alton, good afternoon. You met Jimmy as well.
How are you?
Good, yeah.
I met him last summer, two different occasions. Okay. The first time was in July. I was out having a few pints, meeting up with a cousin, a couple of friends on a Saturday. It was in the evening time. I caught his eye as he was going past. He had a nice big smile on him, you know, talking. And I mentioned his baseball camper, and we sparked into conversation, and he told me about all of, you know, what the way of life he was living, how he had come from the army and so on. But he had a lovely nature to him, you know. It's just there's something about his presence. He was a very nice individual, you know. And then I was introduced then to his partner, who told me that he is her rock. Okay. If you get me, you know, she couldn't do without him.
Yeah.
And I had a lengthy conversation with them both about how they, you know, go through the day, where they look for gigs and this, that, and the other, you know. And if memory serves, and they were travelling up from the Wicklow direction, where they'd go back that direction in the evening. They felt safer out there or whatever, you know. Yeah. And it was their daily routine. You know, they'd come into Dublin or wherever, you know, and do way of life in so many ways. And then in the August then, in the same summer, I met them again. Just in passing, walked along, and we remembered each other, and we sparked a conversation, and I took a lovely photograph, a selfie of them.
After two of you.
I'd like to get that to his family.
Yeah,
you know?
we'll facilitate that, yeah.
I'm really a hero.
And Alton, you're very strong on maybe Deborah can come in here if she wishes. You're very strong about Jimmy and his partner being very, very close.
Yes, they were.
No doubt. Very sad.
They never left each other's side for 20-odd years.
My God.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Very sad.
Yeah.
She was a lovely girl, you know, too, you know. I found her to be very pleasant.
Yeah.
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 Okay, Alton. Thanks indeed, Alton. That's Alton.
If I could get that, is there any way I could get that photograph?
Yeah, we'll facilitate that off air, Alton. Happier times,
if you know what I mean. It's a nice photograph. And he's a lovely lad. I'm very proud of him.
And it shows a nice communication between the two of you, Alton, that you took selfies. It's always a bit of a laugh. And thanks, Alton. That's Alton Beer. Niall, thanks, Alton. I know you're involved with the charity Feed Our Homeless. When did you hear about this awful tragedy?
I heard about it the very next day, Joe. I actually had passed that point. I was out driving. We go out every night with the van. Just as so many other charities do, we supply simple food, clothing to the people we meet on the streets. And we had passed that point before Jimmy had gone in the water that night. I happened to be driving that night. And the following night we were out and we were approached at the top of Stephen's Green, and we were approached by one of his friends because there was a great sense of shock in the homeless community in general, because so many people knew Jimmy and liked him. And they told us about it. Now, I personally didn't know him personally, but he was certainly well known to members of the team. I've only been volunteering for a few months, so I wasn't that familiar with him. But what was said there was, it's kind of like, people don't appreciate, I think, many people. I know I didn't fully appreciate, because to a certain extent, you kind of categorize people, put them in a sort of box in your head, and you don't really appreciate the sense of humor, the fun, the entertainment, the personalities of people, just because they're in a doorway.
The humanity of people, the dignity of everybody.
But the other side of this is, Joe, that there are so many organizations that travel the roads of Dublin, the streets of Dublin, feeding people and caring for people. There are thousands of meals served every week. I mean, if you think of Brother Kevin, the captain, the Muslim Sisters of Air, who put out 700 meals at a time, Lorraine and that group, the number of people who are doing this. There are hundreds and hundreds of volunteers handing out thousands and thousands of meals and driving the streets of town. There's the mustard seeds and Dougie Hobson and people like that. And people don't realize how much of the failings of our society are being catered for by the by volunteers. I mean, here we are with this 10 billion budget surplus, and we can't look after our own people. I mean, if you took the volunteers off the streets, what situation would we begin? Because we see that the official statistics are going down and down and down. But we take our own statistics every night on the streets. We fill in a sheet of paper and we top those numbers up every night. And our numbers are going up, not down. And at the same time, we see crimes on the streets. Or if you talk to the homeless community, you'll hear about all sorts of crimes that never make the papers. Nothing as horrible, of course, mostly as Jimmy's death. But there are regularly we meet people. They've been robbed, beaten up, stabbed. Terrible things happen, and it's just really frustrating. If a fraction of the effort that we put into feeding and clothing people could be put into actually resolving the fundamental problems, we wouldn't need to be out there.
I know. But as there's great, there can be, as you know, Niall, and as Deborah's highlighted, there can be great complexity in homelessness and why people are homeless at any given time. I know the housing crisis is obviously the big one, but there's other difficult complexities there as well. Niall, stay with us if you could, please. I want to go to Patrick before. Patrick, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You're listening. Your point, please, Patrick.
Yeah. Now, first of all, to Deborah, I think she's still on the line, is she?
Yes, she is. I am.
Well, I just want to send my commiserations to Deborah and her brother passing away, and to the poor boy, the poor other guy who passed away. I mean, I think it's so sad. And you know, the interesting thing is, I read the newspapers a lot, and I keep up to date in the news.
Oh, good man, yeah.
And when I was reading the news over those couple of days, the thing that struck me was there was more news about the president's dog dying than there was about these two poor young lads. And I think that's a disgrace. And I remember reading about the president, John. Now, I know I'm going to get every dog lover in the world on this phone now giving out to him, but I remember reading about that. Maybe you did, John, when you were away. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, I don't know. And I remember reading, I was thinking, Jesus, I'm not interested in the president's dog. I just found it was stupid news, to be honest with you, in my opinion. Now, in my opinion. Mm. And what makes it worse is that when you hear something as tragic as this, and that doesn't make the paper, and a dog, a pampered dog, and I'm sorry to say it, that dies in the park, makes the paper. Now, by all means, it probably is newsworthy. The other one is more newsworthy. And
of
it got nothing.
Of course,
and
of
that
course.
Annoys me. And I feel for the family, for Deborah's family and for the other family, I feel in some way that a dog dying was more important than these poor souls, poor homeless souls. And you know, sometimes I always feel that sometimes people with addiction, I think they look after each other better than people who so-called middle class and all that sort of thing. I do. I mean, I wouldn't jump into the Liffey Joe for the inside of my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a terrible thing. And I'd love to be able to, but I wouldn't. And it takes the heart and the courage of someone like that, Jimmy, to do something to save someone that he saw. And God love him, he passed away. And then we have this nonsense about a dog in the park that dies. And it was on every website, Joe. I saw it. I saw it in the comments on the journal that they put these in. And I'm reading it. I don't know why I was reading it now, but at the time it was annoying. I said, this to me isn't you.
But as I said earlier, the thing that struck me this morning, and I actually read it for some reason. When I wake up, I turn on look at the paper.
Yeah.
I read it at 3 o'clock this morning because I texted to the programme team. And this was in the Irish Times, and there's two stories side by side, and I counted the words in both of them, and they're about they're of equal length, just over 200 words. One story is President's dog, Brode, dies age 11. And then the story beside it, I mean right beside it, is tributes paid to talented young boxer killed in car crash.
Yeah.
This young chap, Oran Gettins, who's apparently was an incredible young man, his family are grieving and he's been buried this week. And I just couldn't believe the juxtaposition of the two stories. I just couldn't believe it. But anyway, and then again, in fairness to the Irish Times, they reported the death of this young boxer. Some other newspapers, all they reported was the death of the president's dog, who was, to lose a dog. If anyone, I understand dog lovers, and I know how much, and that's, dog lovers are people lovers as well, isn't it? But anyway, I don't know if we all need to check ourselves about the celebrity culture and the world we live in and the obsessions. And but then again, I also know, Patrick, that people like reading about some RTE personalities, home life and the many children they have and what they're all doing. Yeah. That's people seem to think that's a legitimate interest. But anyway,
But in my own life, I have no interest in reading about, but that's my preference.
Exactly,
if I see something like that, I just don't be bothered. How many kids they have, I'm not interested. It doesn't bother me. Now, if I see something like two men have died in the Liffey or one trying to save the other, that immediately I would read and I'd say, my God, what a tragedy. That is a tragedy. Now, when you were saying about that poor boxer who was terribly sad as well and commiserations to that family, and then beside it is a dog dying, who makes that decision? What editor says, put that on the same beside that? I don't understand. That might be somewhere for a paragraph down in buried deep in a paper somewhere that, in my opinion, when you see tragedy like that, now, of course, life isn't all about tragedy. But I think you have to rate them, if you will, as to where you put them. And I wouldn't like, if something happened to my family, a tragedy like that, and then beside it was the president's dog died, I'd go, hello. I really would. Mm. It has really annoyed me. And I just remembered at the time, Joe, and I was going to, when I read about the president's dog, and I remember thinking, that's not, that to me, I don't know. No. To me, it really wasn't news to be. And now it just makes it bigger, magnifies it now when I see what wasn't reported as opposed
what was reported.
Okay.
And my God, before some dog lover comes on, I don't mean to offend the dog lover of Ireland. It's just the newsworthiness.
And that's why I wanted to give you as much time as we could, because I wanted you to get that nuance in, because that nuance is there in your contribution. You're not giving out about dog lovers. It's just a juxtaposition and the prioritisation. Anyway, Patrick, thanks indeed, and I'll go back to Deborah after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. And we're talking about a tragedy that occurred on the night of April the 7th and the 8th. It was Good Friday stroke Easter Saturday morning. It happened at Cable Street Bridge in Dublin about 20 past one in the morning. A busy thoroughfare, as you know, on the cusp of Cable Street, which is very busy, and on the link across the Temple Bar. And on that night, two young men, Johnny and his pal, were walking, and for whatever reason, I thought Johnny explained it very well, as best he could, maintaining the privacy of the family, that his pal became different and became worried about something, which Johnny says he shouldn't have been worried about. But anyway, these things happen, and he ended up making his way to the river. Johnny obviously tried to stop him, and then when he got into the river, Johnny screamed for help. And there was a lot of people around, because Johnny couldn't swim, by the way. And this man came forward, stepped out of the crowd, James Nicol. And he had been in the army and he could swim. And he entered the water to try and save Johnny's pal's life. And tragically, both of them drowned. And this did not feature, was not mentioned in any, as far as we can find out. I stand to be corrected, and I know if I am corrected on this, I'd be lambasted. But anyway, we trawled. The first mention I could find out about it in the national media was in the Irish Times 10 days later on the 18th by Ronan McGreevy. Now, Ethan, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, you knew Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm very, very sorry to hear the news about the two men. But yeah, I first met Jimmy when I was a student and I was working in Stephen's Green, and I'd meet him outside the shop I was working in. And he just, yeah, as everyone said, he had this lovely, kind soul. I never felt threatened by him. I just felt like he was just a nice man to chat to. And yeah, I mean, that was probably about 15 years ago. And then every year kind of meet him around town and we'd have a chat and maybe have a cup of coffee and if he wanted to get something to eat. I met his partner who was lovely. And yeah, I just always wished that, you know, things would go better for them because they really deserved it. He really was such a lovely man. And I can't believe that this is the first that I've heard about it.
Oh, you didn't know it was him either. You didn't know he had
trying
to rescue somebody.
That's it, and my absolute hero. And I only knew from putting the kind of pieces of the stories that he had told me over the years, you know, about Kildare and things like that. So yeah, just absolutely tragic. I'm so, so sorry to hear this news, and my condolences to his family and to his partner.
And Ethan, would Jimmy know you when you met again, or when you bumped into each other again?
Yeah, it was actually amazing because I met him when I was quite young. I was probably like 19 or 20. And, you know, the stories I tell him, he'd ask me, are you still working in that place? And are you still going out with that guy? Oh, that's nice. I'm glad it's going well for you. And there were some really nice moments where I'd meet him and things were going well. And, you know, he'd have a new job and he'd be really happy. And then the next time I meet him, you know, for whatever reason, the job wasn't working out. And he was always positive and hoping for something better to happen. And I always thought that it would happen for him. So this is really tragic because he did deserve so much better.
Yeah, it's incredible. Deborah, were you aware of this, that Jimmy seemed to have formed, which is unusual, he seemed to have formed relationships with people over the years, even though he was of, I know he was in a hostel or whatever, but he was of no fixed abode for a lot of the time. Are you surprised to hear these people now saying, I knew Jimmy, he remembered my name, when we bumped into each other, we'd have a cup of tea, he'd remember details about my life?
No, I'm not surprised one bit. I would have often went up to town to meet him, and every person, you could be walking down O'Connell Street with him, and every person seemed to know him, and like, how are you going, Seamus? How are you going, Seamus? How are you going, Seamus? And I'm like, how? It's like somebody when you go on a foreign holiday and you meet somebody, you know, you're like, I'd often go on holidays with my husband pre-COVID, and I'd meet somebody, I'd know my husband, be like, how are we wherever we are? And you know somebody. James knew everybody. You know, and everybody knew him. And he, because of the nature of a chap he was, I wasn't one bit surprised. Everybody knew him and he knew everybody.
And had, he was quite a slim man. And did he always wear, someone said, did he always wear a baseball hat?
Always wore a baseball cap.
Oh, that's okay. That's how people are. Putting two and two together,
I always wore a baseball cap. And the story we were talking about, like over the time of his funeral, was like he'd only ever get his hair cut when Mum and Dad were going up to visit him. Do you know? And I'd be like, Mammy and Daddy are going up to see, and he'd be like, oh God, let me get my hair cut. Do you know?
Good lad, good lad.
So he always wore a baseball cap.
He knew his place. He knew his place for his parents. Okay, Ethan, I know it's an awful news for you to get today, that someone you've been in touch with over a long, long time. But to hear that Jimmy drowned trying to save someone else's life. He died trying to save a life.
I mean, I could, it's horrible, but I could totally see what he wouldn't even think. I know the kind of man that he was. He would be seeing anyone in trouble. I mean, he often talked about, I think the other caller said it as well, about, you know, younger guys that were in hostels and helping them out and stuff like that. So he was always very caring and protective, it seems. So he obviously didn't even think twice about this. And it's just so unfortunate.
Okay, Ethan, again, thanks. Thank you so much. And
thank you so much. And I'm sorry again for Sammy and his partner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye. Stay with us, Deborah. Thanks, Ethan.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Deborah, your reaction to so many people knowing your brother, knowing Jimmy Seamus and his baseball cap and his demeanour and his friendliness, obviously.
Yeah, he was a gentle soul. He always was. Like he helped anybody out that needed help. And that's the way he was from a very young age. Do you know? Like his claim to fame was, I don't know if your producer told you, like he was a runner for Mel Gibson in Braveheart.
Oh, tell us. And they loved him. He was only, that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was only a young fella. He was only in his early teens.
Yeah.
And he Braveheart, obviously, when it was being filmed in the Curry, So James loved it. Got stuck in and did what he had to do. He loved it. And that's the way he was. He just got stuck in. Hard old grafter. He's a grafter with all the grafters in the family, but like me dad, he was a great old grafter, you know. He always worked when he could work, and he'd work at anything. He'd put his hand to anything when he could, you know. He's great.
And how and did he meet Mel Gibson, by the way?
Oh, he did, yeah.
Oh, of course. Why am I not surprised, Deborah?
We all saw Mel Gibson from a distance when we were all in the car. He was very well protected, but James would have been a runner on set. So that was his claim to fame, you know.
And I'm just thinking, you know the way you said he loves going into town every day?
Yeah.
I was watching that U2 thing with David Letterman or whatever. It was great if only David Letterman wasn't in it. But it'd be better with it. But that's it here. But the U2 thing, they captured, there was a lot of it was filmed in the city centre. And there's a great buzz in town. There's always something happening. Always something being filmed. Always some bit of music or a bit of atmosphere, so I can understand why he loved himself and his partner. And they seemed to ramble around that part of town. Did he Exchequer Street and up that end?
That
was his favourite. Okay. How do you want James remembered, Deborah?
As a brave Irish man. A brave Irishman, that's what a kind, caring, loving, brave Irishman. And a so much loved son, brother and uncle, cousin and friend. That's what we want him to be remembered as.
Okay. Okay. Well, we play out because you mentioned to us privately that he loved Aslan and he loved Christy Dignam and he loved that sense of triumph and power that's in their songs. Today's programme, by the way, was produced by Sean O'Gorman, and as you know, Ray Darcy is next. But we'll finish in memory of James Nicol, and also Paul Tracy, come in quickly, Paul. Sorry, I didn't see you there. Paul, you interviewed Jimmy.
Yes, that's right. I interviewed Jimmy about 10 months ago. Okay. I'm just looking here at the video. Yeah, it was 10 months ago. Just at the end of the pandemic, after that time,
okay,
I was interviewing people around town that were homeless because it was very evident in the time of the corona.
Okay.
They were the only people in the city. And I came across Jimmy just off Wicklow Street in Dublin.
Yeah. That fits,
and he saw me with the camera and he came over and agreed to have a chat with me.
Okay.
And he was out at the time trying to get himself sorted and he was out doing a bit of tapping. But we chatted for a while and I did a little interview with him which I put on my channel. And he struck me as such a genuine and empathetic character. Something really gentle about him that I never forgot. And I was very disappointed to hear that he passed away recently.
Okay. And when did you hear that, Paul?
It was one of my subscribers who was watching the video and knew Jimmy, and he left a message saying, RIP, this man gave his life trying to save somebody else. And I asked the guy to DM me, but he didn't get back to me quick enough. I Googled Jimmy's name and I saw the related article and I was able to identify him from the photograph. So I just put an RIP on the thumbnail because...
Well then, so that means Jimmy's voice is somewhere recorded recently, and
there's a lovely little piece of 10 minutes where you really see the humanity of Jimmy, and it's on Cold Turkey, that's with a K, and you'll find it in the playlist there.
Okay.
This will finish, Deborah, with your permission, on this dedication to Jimmy. It's
thank you.
Christy Dignam, Aslan, how can I protect you in this crazy world? This crazy,
thank
crazy
you very
world.
Much, Joe.
God rest Jimmy Nicol, and God rest that other boy who's 22 today.
Stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.